cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and we begin this Thorn in the Side Thursday edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is, in fact, the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, something we like to call conversation radio. You know, that's a very freighted phrase, conversation radio. It carries a whole lot of meaning, and it carries a whole lot of, nuance, if you will. And whatever else it carries, I hope it continues to speak to you and provides a reason for you to join in this discussion, this conversation that's been going on for in excess now of 6 years. I thought it seems appropriate given, we talked about a lot last night, but we spoke in particular, or the story of the evening, of course, had to do with the young woman being flogged, beaten, thrashed, tortured, tormented by her sick, twisted monster of a father. And I thought some follow-up might be in order. After the program last night, I was checking the TV station that basically was doing most of the on-the-ground reportage regarding this business. And I found a couple of things that seem, at least to me, worthwhile in the way of a follow-up. The television station doing the work is out of Corpus Christi, Texas. I want to give them credit where it is due. It is KRIS-TV, the most news in South Texas. Again, out of Corpus Christi, you know, Body of Christ, Texas. So they did stick a microphone in the face of the abusive monster of a father who sits in judgment of other human beings. I thought you might like to hear his take on the situation.
Happened.
Now, earlier today, we caught up with a judge as he was leaving his home in Rockport.
That's right. He told our Andy Lascano that the incident wasn't as bad as it appears and that he didn't do anything wrong. Take a listen.
Have you contacted her about
yes.
this video?
Yeah.
You acknowledge that that's you in the video?
I don't want to talk right now, sir.
Okay.
Have you had a
conversation with your daughter?
Sure.
And what
she's
was it?
She's mad because I've ordered her to bring the car back, in a nutshell, but... Yeah, that's me. Lost my temper. I spanked her. Mother was there. She wasn't hurt. It was a long time ago.
How long ago was it?
About 6 years.
Okay. Well,
I apologized to her. I really don't want to get into this right now because, as you can see, my life's been made very difficult over this child.
Have you been contacted by...
My life has been made...
Earlier today,
oh, darn it. My life has been made very difficult by this child. His life. Difficult. You know, his life would have been so much more easy if she just would have been an obedient child. You may recall from the tape the line, "What's happened to you? What's wrong with you? You used to be a sweet little girl. Now you lie and you cheat and you steal. What's happened to you?" Yeah. You know, the honorable Judge Adams apparently has not learned the first law of holes. I mean, when you're in one, quit digging. But let's go back.
Okay, but you had a conversation with your daughter?
Sure.
And what
was it? She's mad because I've ordered her to bring the car back, in a nutshell.
Ordered her.
Yeah, that's me. Lost my temper. I spanked her. Mother was there.
Spanked her.
She wasn't hurt. It was a long time ago.
How long ago was it?
About 6 years.
Okay, well,
I apologize to her. I really don't want to get into this right now because, as you can see, my life's been made very difficult over this child.
Have you been contacted by judicial review, any of those committees out of Austin, since this video apparently has gone viral?
I've contacted them to let them know.
And what was their response? Do you think you're going to face any kind of suspension or discipline?
Don't know. In my mind, I haven't done anything wrong other than discipline my child after she was caught stealing. And I did lose my temper, but I've since apologized. It looks worse than it is. There is a story. It will come out in due time, okay?
So you do acknowledge, though, that that's you in the video?
Yeah, absolutely. It's me.
And it's because she downloaded a game onto your computer?
No, she was stealing. I don't want to get into it, okay? But there was a reason she was being disciplined.
Do you acknowledge that the beating was excessive, the spanking, the discipline?
No, I'm not going to get into any of that, okay?
Nah, I'm not going to get into any of that. And, you know, not that I have any particular powers of perception or prediction or prophecy for all the funnin' and carrying on that we do. But I do seem to recall last night mentioning something along the lines of, you just wait. There will be defenders out there. Well, lo and behold, the KRIS-TV in Corpus Christi, Body of Christ, Texas, went out and talked to the community, and they found some people who couldn't watch past minute 1.5, let alone watch the entire 7.5 minutes. Then, in a diner, somewhere in this little, what is it, Rock Creek or Rockport or something, Texas, Aransas County, they found this lady. Strap in.
This woman also watched the video in its entirety. She says she knows Adams personally and absolutely supports him.
So I think that she got what she deserved.
Still, the cursing in the video did bother her, but her support still went unwavering.
That bothered me. That part bothered me. Because I know for a fact he's not the kind of person.
Those who know nothing but a...
The little girl got what she deserved, but I was bothered by the cussing. He should have beat the snot out of her without cussing. The cussing was uncalled for. There you go. There you go. Now, who this woman was, they didn't say. But there were other accounts, if you read on the KRIS-TV website, of people saying, well, I know him. And I don't care. I don't care if that is him in the video. I don't believe he done that. All kinds of things happen on the internets. The human psyche has a profound, profound capacity for denial and for resisting even the most basic acknowledgments of pure evil. And, of course, but I didn't like the cussing part. You know, this is the same kind of person who could watch innocence blown into their tiny constituent pieces in an unjust war. As long as our soldiers weren't saying dirty words or listening to that rap music, that bothers me. And, of course, you know, like he said, it was a long time ago. I apologized to her. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. And I've forgiven her. And, of course, you know, he probably went to church and Jesus forgave him. How do you know? Well, I mean, you know, I asked him, so he did. Yeah, David in Tennessee caught that one, too. Ordered her to... She's basically mad because I ordered her to return the car. David noting, that freak has cut his daughter off from any family support. He has pulled a car back, and I'd bet on some bank accounts having been closed out. The animal is exacting retribution for her actions. Abusers abuse. See, that's the... I can't speak for certain, and I would certainly defer to horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner on this. But there is a, you know, there's something, I think I would suspect that inside a serial abuser like this monster, there are tenets characteristics shared with a sociopath, a fractured, broken conscience. You know, sociopaths just don't have one. Neither do psychopaths. This guy, however, sits in a position of high authority, holding forth and issuing judgment on the lives of others, and insists upon their use of the conscience, where he has none himself. I couldn't help it. I did more research last night. This guy has said, in regard to children's testimony of child abuse, at times contemporaneous with his ongoing abuse of his own child, that no child testifying in a child abuse case can, no child's testimony can be treated as reliable because children lie. He has held in other cases that if there is no video evidence of the child being abused, the abuse didn't happen. You want to bet that maybe that got talked about around the dinner table once or twice in that upstanding, godly Christian home? Reckon maybe that's why, as Hillary Adams noted later, that she put a scarf over the little red light on her video camera so that it wouldn't be noticed. And then made damned well sure that there was video evidence of the abuse taking place, because that was the standard of judgment imposed by her monstrous, freak, hate-filled misanthrope of a father on other people. Little abused children who did not have photographic or video evidence of them being abused were not believed. So that's the update. Now, I didn't and would not say anything otherwise, but last night during the program, a number of folks shared their own memories of their own painful childhoods. And one more voice has been added to that mix. You might want to go over to CassieAtCollege.com. Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E, @college.com. And read what she has to say about this incident. Hillary Adams and her mother, Hallie, appeared on the Today Show this morning. And I'm not at all sure how to approach it, but she talked, well, you know, it's Matt Lauer, it's for-profit television, therefore it's going to have some rather severe limitations. Matt Lauer talked about how crusty old reporter newsroom veterans could hardly stand to watch the video for more than a minute and a half or so. But then questions were asked about what he means when he says more will come out. And one of the things that I found particularly telling was there was brief reference, and it just came and it went with no follow-ups whatsoever from Johnny on the spot crack for-profit media reporter Matt Lauer. Reference to an addiction problem. And I went back and I listened to it again. And yeah, maybe I'm reading something into it. If I am, you know, I'm guilty. But in that, when he comes back into the room and says, I didn't get my licks in. Let's put it this way. I've heard that more often outside of roadhouses and honky-tonks than I have in the bedrooms of little children. I didn't get my licks in. Yeah. Reckon Judge Daddy might be a little bit of a drunk. Who knows? We do know one thing. In following some of the coverage, I was dismayed to find myself correct again in that there's a distinct possibility that even with the video evidence in hand, this man will not be held to account before the criminal justice system of a state notorious for the brutality of its criminal justice system. Because there is, and, you know, it's dinner time, so I apologize. Because there is a statute of limitations on misdemeanors in Texas. And apparently, people viewing that tape are of the opinion that, yeah, it's probably child abuse. Note the use of the word probably. But it's also probably a misdemeanor, and the statute of limitations is already run so well, we can't really charge him with anything. In other words, he's had to go into seclusion. The cops have talked to him. The Judicial Commission is perhaps investigating, but it is, after all, Texas. And while he may be uncomfortable for a little while, in the long run, nothing's likely to happen. He doesn't even have to run for re-election for another 3 years. Apparently, the state of Texas created its court-at-law judges, who are basically family law judges, somewhere around 2001. In Aransas County, Texas, since 2001, since the creation of the post, the only person ever to have sat in justice, if I read it correctly, sat in injustice, most likely, on issues of child custody and child well-being and all the things that can be so painfully attendant upon divorce. The only person that can pass judgment on all of that is that man whom you heard last night beating his daughter with a leather lash. Go and get me the big belt. David in Tennessee noting, that little red light on the camera, if she hadn't covered that up, had that animal noticed that little red light, it would have cost her her life. That and the freak still thinks the whole thing's her fault. Yeah, David, misdemeanor. How the hell is that not felony assault? Well, in Texas, probably belt whipping, a belt is probably just deemed a corrective implement. It's not necessarily a deadly weapon. Ball bat, deadly weapon. Belt, razor strop, flog, cat of nine tails. Oh, hell, they used one of them on Jesus. Misdemeanor. In Texas, I can imagine, I mean, you know the old saying that a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. But in Texas, I imagine you would probably have a pretty hard time getting a grand jury to agree that a white man, and it's important that we emphasize the word white man, that a white man whipping his child with a leather belt constituted felony child abuse. I would not, not that I am or could be, I would not want to be the prosecutor trying to convince a grand jury of that. Now, if the guy with the belt screaming the dirty words was black, or Mexican, I wouldn't, as a prosecutor, hesitate to walk in there and ask the jury to return a true bill of attempted murder. And I'd get it. But a white man, a judge, well, that man knows all about justice. Everything there is to know about justice, he knows. He sure ought to know how to meet some judge. Well, you heard the woman. I think that little girl got what she deserved, but I sure didn't like the cussing. Didn't like the cussing. The whole thing is just wrong on about 9 dozen different levels. And you know what? I'll go so far as to say, you know, because in the for-profit media interview on Today, of course, for-profit ace reporter Matt Lauer had to ask, well, Mama, don't you think you had something in this? Didn't ask it like that, because after all, he is a for-profit media ace reporter. And Ms. Hillary said, no, my mama and I have a wonderful relationship now. And that's what happens inside these kinds of abusive relationships. Clayton writing in, noting, that bastard was having a sexual experience. I cannot believe the level of anger I felt and feel. Yeah, David gets it. The cussing. If only he'd been screaming, in Jesus' name, see the error of your harlot ways. The whole thing would have been okay by the, you know, lady in polyester. And of course, there was some of that. She's being disobedient. Submit to me. You know, when you hear words like submit, you know that somebody's been wandering around in third condominium or 14th flip-floppians or 12th galoshes. Be obedient and submit as the church submits unto Christ. Brutal. Just brutal. But there is a there are many other stories out there, and some of which are more important than others. Some disturbing stories. Headline popped last night right after the show, in the New York Times politics and government blog. Woman who accused Kane won't go public, lawyer says. That's a pity. But there's only so much you can ask of any given individual. If there was a remote chance that the man might end up president, maybe she would make a different decision. But Michael D. Shear, Jeff Zeleny, and Jim Rutenberg write, Joel P. Bennett, the lawyer for one of the women who has made accusations against Mr. Kane, said that his client had decided not to go public or to make a public statement herself in an effort to shield herself from the media frenzy swirling around the situation. She's not going to affirmatively make any public statements or public appearances about the case. Everything will be through me. And then the operative phrase, the operative sentence. She has a life to live and a career, and she doesn't want to become another Anita Hill. Maybe somebody needs to send that line to... Well, I mean, he's gone now. He's out of government and probably just prattling around and playing Parcheesi somewhere. But maybe somebody, Canasta, anyone, somebody needs to send that sentence to Arlen Specter. Somebody needs to send that sentence to Orrin Hatch. In other words, justice will not be meted out to Herm Cain because the accuser is not afraid of Mr. Kane. She is afraid of the for-profit media that will hound her into the dirt. Lawyer Bennett said she certainly wanted to say something counter to what Mr. Kane has been saying, adding that he hoped the statement would help restore her reputation and validate the claims she made at the time. As of now, it is my expectation that it will not go into the details about the incident. She does not want to do that. This is a statement that she feels set forth her position in a fair and honest way. I haven't seen the statement yet. And, of course, they were waiting on permission from the National Restaurant Association to go forward, because this was a door that Mr. Kane more or less opened. Kim writing in about Hillary Adams and her animal of a father. She said, I just watched the video. Felony child abuse is not enough. I worked for 30 years tearing welds apart in GM's body plants. I never had to put that much force into tearing sheet metal apart as that husband and wife put into that belt. You've done your job well, Bob. You've managed to make us all uncomfortable. Signed, Kim. I'm sorry, Kim. Truly. 26 minutes past the hour, and in fact, I asked horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner to chime in on this, and I think this is him. Is that you, Rick?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you, brother?
Oh, okay, until I started reading that story. Good old Texans. They're always doing something strange.
Well, I mean, you live in the belly of the beast, so I figured there couldn't be anybody much with greater degree of expertise. This is nothing you haven't seen before, is it?
Oh, no. It happens all the time. The more religious or the more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Authoritarian?
Respectful. Authoritarian, of course, but respectful the family's supposed to be, the more likely there's a lot more abuse there. Police officers, lawyers, judges, preachers, tons of it. And authority is the right word, Bob. I mean, okay, let's face it. Here's where it all starts. I don't care what anybody that doesn't believe in evolution thinks. We share all the genes of chimpanzees except for 0.6%. 99.4% of all the genes we have with chimpanzees. They have authoritarian figures. One chimp gets to be the leader of the pack. That means he can rape any of the females. That means he can abuse any of the males. The males, when they approach him, have to get down on their knees and touch his genitals. You know,
yeah.
Really cool stuff. Female doesn't give sex fast enough. You will grab the infant from her hands and beat its head in. Yes. You know, you look at cute little chimpanzees, and you think, oh, what sweet little animals.
No. In the news a couple of years ago, or within the last couple of years, didn't we have a rather brutal reminder of that fact, Rick?
Absolutely.
Chimpanzees attacking?
Absolutely. And in the wild, we've seen chimpanzees track down other members of other troops and kill them and eat them. We've seen chimpanzees brutalize one that they pick out. They do the same thing in a family. They can be a family of six kids, but they'll pick on one to abuse constantly. That's the one who gets it. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is there has nothing been seen in the wild that chimpanzees do that has not been seen in humans. We are not that far apart. And that seems to come out with the authoritarian part, where people who believe in authorities are more willing to hurt you or to hurt somebody else for their authority, or for you to protect somebody else's authority over them. You see that with right-wingers today. Those of protesters should be shot. It's good that guy got shot in the head out there. He was protesting. He was just a dirty hippie. No, he was a soldier doing his job. Look at the tape. He's standing there bravely. Short little guy. Boy, I was so proud of him. Shot in the head. I get on the broad blogs and I hear all these right-wingers saying, well, he needs to die. Why? Because, and you know, I asked them that question. They said, well, he isn't obeying the police. Is that authority thing? With the police, they are more likely to hurt you if you don't immediately obey them. Judges, all of them, religious leaders, any of them that works off from having power from authority will hurt you if you don't show them enough respect.
Rick, I mean, give us a little insight into the inner workings of one of these abusers' brains. I mean, I read... I played audio of this guy being interviewed, I guess, yesterday afternoon. And he said something along the lines, maybe you heard it, of, I just don't want to talk about this right now. As you can see, it's made my life quite uncomfortable.
Well, you know, that's obvious. I haven't seen any of this stuff because I've got a horrible stream right now. I can't... I went ahead and paid for 4G from T-Mobile and can't get 4G anyplace.
Right.
It's only 2G. But, you know, that's it. What they're thinking is, what have you done to upset me? You know, God, this is just so hard. It's like a man and a woman who went to do a drug deal in Fort Worth. They get there, and the drug deal goes bad, and his daughter gets killed in the backseat, shot in the head. He goes to the bar with his wife, and people in the bar say, get out of here. We don't want you around here. So the police have to come and save him. News people are there, of course, because that's a big story in town. And he says, well, I don't understand it. We're the victims here. It's that mentality. They only feel for themselves.
You want to do a little bit of shameless speculation? I haven't looked up what this guy's party affiliation is in Aransas County, Texas.
God. He's Republican, I have no doubt about it. He is probably elected under the Republican Party, too.
I think he started out appointed, but then he's run for re-election. With somebody who enjoys this much power over others, Rick, if you have any experience along these lines, do they maintain any kind of a firewall between their abusive conduct inside the home and how they behave in their professional life, or is it all kind of seamless?
It's all seamless. Now, in professional life, they can brush over it, you know, and they can hide their hatred for everybody that lives. On the privacy of the home, that's a little bit different. But in the professional life, somebody comes through there and they don't like the color, they don't like the way they look, they don't like the way their hair is cut, if they're too good looking, too ugly, they're going to go to jail. I mean, it's just a matter of what pleases them. I mean, look at the mentality of someone who puts themselves above everybody else to judge other people. What kind of person has that mentality?
Or has that desire, that ambition?
Thank you. Yeah.
Within these kinds of structures, Rick, is there any way to say whether or not is there a correlation between, for instance, if you've got an abuser like this, can you say that more often than not they are or are not involved in some kind of substance abuse as well?
That's a hard one because you know. Because every time someone who gets caught doing this, if they have a drink just before they did that, you know, one beer, they're going to say, oh, the alcohol made me do it. Or the painkillers made me do it.
Oh, the Mel Gibson defense then?
Yes. They're going to always use that for an excuse. So you can't really get a true correlation. It's like everybody who's in prison is there because of their drugs and their friends. Not their fault. So you can't really get a good correlation on that. Because they're going to lie and blame what they're doing on something else or somebody else. It's just the personality. That's what I was getting to. It's ingrained into our genetic code to do this. And I think it's been like that, and this is pure speculation from Rick, and it's garbage. You can throw it right out the window. But I think around about the 1500s, there was a genetic sequence that went off, and suddenly there's liberals in the world. I think that made all the difference in the world. Because before that, everybody was...
toeing the line?
Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't find it. I had agitus interruptus. Yeah. The authority figures was it. You had a country that came... Well, Scandinavia. I think it was Denmark. I'm not really for sure, but I think it was Denmark. They were a democracy before we were. But they voted and got obviously brought back a king. They didn't have a king. They had to send them out for one. They have a king now. God's honest truth. People before that change in the 1500s, and it may have been even earlier, maybe been back at the Greeks, but I noticed in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, things started really change, started getting away from the illiberals to liberals. You know, from people who hate freedom to people who love freedom. Anyway, that's just Rick's death, and I don't know what's going on other than the fact that people use the authority to get power over other people, and so do chimpanzees.
And
it has to be hardwired.
So, is it... In watching the interview on... the Today Show, the Today interview this morning, the abused person said, "I just want my daddy to get some help," or something along those lines.
Oh, God, yes.
Can you counsel this out of someone? I don't mean Rick, but can you make a predator stop being a predator?
Oh, God, no. I mean, they can quit. But it doesn't mean that they're not a predator anymore. You know, it's like a child abuser, a child rapist. You can make them pretend that they're not in public. But, you know, you could even set it up and they get married to a woman. But when they close their eyes, they're having sex with a kid, not that woman. You know, you're not going to be able to get what is ingrained into somebody out of them. It's just not going to happen. Now, I'm not supposed to say that because I'm supposed to say... Everybody has the ability to change, and we can all change. But I'm sorry, that's BS. That's official. We are supposed to always say that everybody has the ability to change. I don't believe it.
So in the early stages of the video, which, of course, is 6 or 7 years old, you see what is probably a little two-year-old toddler girl come into the screen, and you hear Daddy say, "Get Allison out of the room."
Uh-huh.
Now, that child is, I think, 10 or 11 now, and he has joint custody of her. Is she, or if you were consulting on this, is she...
in danger?
Yeah. Is she at risk?
As soon as you get the object of the abuse out of the house, the abusers usually turn to another member of the family. Almost always. So I'd say the possibility is there.
And the other thing that struck me, and you've testified in court, have you not?
I've testified in court, huh?
So you know what CASA is, right? The Child Advocate. It's an acronym.
Yeah.
For a child advocate in court or court appointed special advocate. Or something like that.
No.
Well,
I've never done that.
Okay. Well, in this case, the TV station in Corpus Christi, Rick, went and interviewed a woman who serves as a CASA advocate on behalf of children in court cases before this animal. And on tape, she said, "Well, I've never known him to be anything but fire." And well, I support him. Now, it struck me as being that woman likes to continue being able to pay her bills?
It's something like that. I really don't know. I mean, it's possible that when he is in court, he plays the game. I don't know. Then again, I haven't seen any of the tapes. I haven't done anything to read a small quote. I really don't know anything about this man. But, talking in general, you could fake it.
Any idea? I mean, because of the degree to which Texas, under Rick Perry, has suffered a profound slash into its services for people in need, whether it be food, health care, social services, psychology. Texas has more uninsured human beings than any other state in the union. Is this a larger problem in Texas or other states of Jesus land than it is in more liberal states, Rick? I mean, we know there's data out there. For instance, there are a lot more divorces in Jesus land than there are in, say, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, et cetera, Washington, Oregon, so forth.
Statistically, you're going to see that people believe... Statistically, you're going to... I got a phone call, just knocked everything out of my head. God, I forgot what we were talking about.
Well, the statistical likelihood of whether or not there is more of this in a place like Texas than other places.
Any place where you get more help, the numbers are going to seem higher. Fact is, it's higher in states that don't keep the records. And they don't keep the records on purpose.
Is Texas one of those states?
Yes, Texas is one of those states.
Now, this guy has had the case, I guess he self-referred. He jumped out there trying to be proactive and referred it to the Texas Judicial Commission, which is apparently the governing body that monitors conduct of members of the bench. How much of a toothless lion, if you know, is the Texas Judicial Commission? Is there any chance that this guy could be removed from the bench as a result of this conduct?
If it gives them a black eye, they will remove him. If they can brush over it and, he gets into therapy, which he's going to do immediately, and they say, oh, he's working on it, then they will keep him around. It also has a lot to do with his political pull. How many politicians did he help get into office? Whose kin is he hiring? This is Texas.
Man, there's a whole bunch of forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown in this, Rick.
Absolutely. And it has a lot to do with, okay, I saved your ass this time. What are you going to do for me in the future?
And I did notice that some so-called experts down that way were saying that the guy might not even face criminal charges because it might just be misdemeanor child abuse, which has a statute of limitations on it.
That is a possibility that it could happen that way. It all depends on how much they want to get him. If they want to get him, they can hang him up to dry. They can take away his judgeship. They can disbarred him so he can't be a lawyer. They can send him to prison. It all depends on how much. Now, statute of limitation does make a difference. There is a set number of years that you can do something. Now, I believe that with child abuse, it shouldn't be allowed. There should be no statute.
Well, if it was felony child abuse, there wouldn't be a statute of limitations, as I understand it. But if it's just deemed to be like class 3 child abuse, I'm making a number up here, then it's a misdemeanor and there's no possibility of criminal charges. I guess the question is daddy whipping his daughter with a belt, something that a Texas jury would look at and say, well, that's child abuse, or is that just another day in Texas, Rick?
That's pretty much another day in Texas. It really is. It's just the way it is. Now, if he left marks, if there was something that the school saw, and they reported, then there'd been a chance that something could have been done. But he'd say, yeah, I'm swinging the belt, and it looks bad, but I really didn't hit her that hard. And so,
well, that's what he did say when he was asked about it the first time. He said, it looks a lot worse than it was.
Yeah. And there's no physical proof unless they have a camera showing bruises.
Obviously, it was not necessary to take this young woman, who had CP. It wasn't necessary to take her to the hospital.
No, of course not.
So, therefore, grievous bodily injury is ruled out, and there goes the felony, right?
So, how much they want
it? Now, she's 23, 24 years old. She's living in another town. She is away from her father. Is she still in any kind of danger from him? Generally speaking.
There is a good possibility that it could be. If he loses everything, he could blame her and he could go back and punish her for it. Now, you also brought up something earlier where she said, she still loves him and everything. That's not unusual. We have seen child abuse cases where the child totally and completely loves that parent who beats them every day. It's strange, but it does exist, and it happens all the time. They love them, they protect them, they lie for them, they do everything they can, even though they're being treated like garbage.
That's just part of the dysfunction.
It's part of the fact that I'm going to beat your respect into you. And, I didn't hear the tape or anything, but many times what happens is during the time that they're doing this to the person, they're explaining to the person all the different ways they cause it to happen to themselves.
Oh, no, that's in there. That's in there. You submit to me. You were disobedient. This was you still want to put some of that? You still want to put them games on your computer? This was over a computer game and downloading a computer game, Rick. Let's see, what else was there? You used to be a sweet little girl. Now you lie and you cheat and you steal. What happened to you?
Let me ask you.
That's a quote, Rick.
You said she had CS or something like that?
She had ataxic CP. She wore splints on her hands all during her childhood, and even despite that, eventually became a virtuoso pianist. And David from Maine sent in a YouTube of her progress as a piano student, and it was almost disturbing seeing that and playing that, because I played it last night, because, I mean, she's good. And just all through it, I thought, my God, how many times did she get hit for, you flatted that G sharp, you bad person.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people around here, you see it mostly in baseball games, soccer, that kind of stuff. Dad will and mom will get up and try to live their own failed sports life through their kids, and they get violent. They will attack other kids of other parents. They will have fights in the stands, and if somebody believes that maybe the daughter has an illness and she's not going to be perfect, that's a reflection on me, so I have to abuse her. That kind of stuff happens too.
Yeah, well, why did God do this to yada yada?
Me, yeah.
One last question, Rick. Clayton wrote in a little bit ago and made the assertion. He said, that bastard was having a sexual experience.
Yes.
Is there a sexual component to physical abuse like this? Or is there ever, or can it happen?
Yes, it can happen. I'm not saying in this case, because I haven't seen anything. But, yes, quite often. They will beat the kid and then have sex with him. Or they'll beat the kid and then have sex with the wife. It's goes back to the chimpanzees. They will beat an infant chimpanzee and then rape the mother. It's sexual. I mean, sex and aggression are very, very close together. The trick is you should always funnel your aggression into sex so it's nice and wonderful instead of hurting people. I don't mean to be rough sex. I just mean put the energy into something else. But yes, it's been noted that people who abuse kids sometimes get a sexual gratification out of it.
Well, the I just got an email in from Fritz in Arkansas. Apparently, when they first asked the animal about why he beat his child, he said, "Well, there's more to this, and it'll come out." Well, yeah. his lawyer, a guy by the name of William A. Dudley, has issued a statement on behalf of the Honorable Judge Adams. He says, quote, "The 7-year-old video was posted for reasons other than as professed by the publisher. If the public must know, just prior to the YouTube upload, a concerned father shared with his 23-year-old daughter that he was unwilling to continue to be her primary source of financial support. Hillary warned her father that if he reduced her financial support and took away her Mercedes automobile, which her father had provided, he would live to regret it. The post was then uploaded."
And? I mean, think about it. I have a problem with that. Look, I just don't have any... I have no sympathy whatsoever for someone who abuses a child.
And the lawyer, of course, the lawyer, of course, has is in full attack mode.
Of course.
He says, "It is regrettable that Hillary Adams, a bright and gifted person..." I'm probably doing the wrong accent for Aransas County, Texas, when you get right down to it, right, Rick?
That's okay.
"Would include in her post..." I mean, Jesus, what a sick attack this is. In the video of her playing piano, she shows the splints that she had to wear on her hands because of, you know, the birth defect that she was born with. "It is regrettable that Hillary Adams, a bright and gifted person, would include in her post that she is or was a disabled or a special needs child. As multiple media appearances clearly demonstrate, Hillary Adams is articulate, possesses a superior IQ, and is capable of functioning as a productive adult in today's complex society. No one should take the affliction of cerebral palsy lightly. Hillary's parents did not. Hillary's condition was monitored as a child and her medical needs met. However, neither should a perfectly capable adult try to use an affliction as a device for media sympathy. It should now be apparent to the world that disabled was mislabeled."
See, let's blame the victim, and then the victimizer is suddenly the victim themselves. I've seen that 1,000 times.
Okay, well, check this out, Rick. The bring your skills to bear on this statement by Lawyer Dudley. "In response to the... No. Perhaps Hillary Adams should explain... if she felt she was raised by a tyrannical father, a claim shared with no one until 5 years after adulthood, why she insisted on living with her father and not her mother from the time of her parents' divorce until she moved out on her own. Hillary Adams has been living on her own for some time and has been an adult for almost 6 years, so why post the video in late 2011?
If you're being abused by somebody... Okay. I have to go back in time again. Charles Darwin was on the Beagle. And when he was on the Beagle, he stopped off the place in South America where the guy on the plantation brought all the slaves in. He asked the slaves in front of, you know, the captain and Charles Darwin, "Do any of you want to leave? If y'all want to leave, you can leave. Or do you want to stay here and be slaves to me?" Okay. Of course, the slaves are going to say, "I want to be a slave to you," because he has control of life and death over them. They said they want to leave, you can kill them. If the girl said, "I want to go and live with mother," but dad has already proved that he's, now, not somebody, I'm talking about general, already proved that he's vicious and mean, she could, in her mind, be afraid that he would kill her. And so she would stay with him. So, that can be kind of real fast.
Well, there, I mean, this statement, if this statement is based upon client interviews between the Honorable Judge Adams and Lawyer Dudley, there's a bunch of sickness here, Rick. Get this. I mean, talk about blame the victim. William Adams regrets the interruption and inconvenience his daughter's post has caused to the Aransas County, Texas community. Judge Adams is confident that when the dust settles and international media attention has passed, and the work ahead, whether civil, criminal, or administrative, has taken its full course and has been fully developed with an opportunity for all sides to ask and answer relevant questions, it will be concluded that Hillary Adams's actions in 2011 were misguided and misleading.
Of course they will. Who made the video?
She did.
Mm-hmm. And so she just set up the camera there to make the video just out of the blue, wasn't expecting anything. No, she made the video because she's been abused like that before.
Right.
That wasn't the first time. And she made the video for protection. Now, it could be that he said he was going to cut off the money, and it could be that he said, I'm going to cut off the money if you don't do this, this, and this. We don't know. And I don't know anything about this case. Got to be real careful here in Texas. But the thing is, she made the video because she was being abused. There's nothing, it happened before. And it was expected to happen again, so she has everything set up and ready to go. Obviously, that wasn't a one-time thing. Obviously, it wasn't frustration. Obviously, it wasn't, I don't know. Sure wish I could see the video.
Yeah, I know the frustration.
Calling in and not being able to see that, sir.
Well, that, no worries. I mean, you don't have to see the video, Rick, given the rather vast experience you have in the field, to speak generally about why abusers abuse. You know, and that's the thing. The pretext in this case was her downloading a video game.
Video game.
Yeah, but you know what? An abuser doesn't need a valid reason. There is no valid reason for an abuser to abuse, right?
Right, but they always have a reason.
Your skirt's not appropriately pressed. Your shoes aren't shined. You buttered your toast the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Now, if I could have seen the video, then I'd be able to speak to the case. But legally, I cannot speak to the case without seeing at least some kind of proof on it. So I have to speak in generalities, and I really hate that. I'm sorry, guys, but I just don't have a decent internet connection. But no, every abuser always has an excuse. They're crummy excuses, because there's no excuse to beat your child.
I mean, if they try to introduce this statement in court, isn't it going to make him look like crap?
No. If they pick the right jury, and seeing how he's a judge, he probably knows which jury to pick. He can get 6 or 12 people who would say, oh, he did the right thing. And if he's a judge, he's going to know which of those, that jury pool should be picked.
Well, we're probably getting out in front of things, but I think step one would be to either have the trial somewhere else or have the trial in Aransas County, with, of course, a special visiting judge and a jury pool pulled from somewhere the hell else.
Yeah, because he has the legal right with his lawyer to pick the jury, you know, pick members of the jury. But he would have knowledge that most people wouldn't have. I mean, most people may not know that Jerry Lee pleaded no contest,
Nolo contendere.
Thank you. You were the lawyer.
To stream litter in 3 years ago in Judge Adams's court. Right.
Yeah. But anyway, he could plead that, and it wouldn't, you know, there would be nothing on the records or anything, and so no one would know but the judge. But this guy's an abuser, too, so, yeah, load up the jury with people like that, and you're going to get off.
Justice. Brother Rick, it is, it's awful good to hear from you. I trust you've been, been okay. I mean, I either take your name in vain or conjure you at least two or three times a week because, you know, there are so many sick-minded people out there, and, of course, a great majority of them are repiglickins.
I'm going to send you a wonderful little book by Carl Sagan that I think you might want to read. It really opened my eyes to why humans do what we do, but I'll send that to you.
Okay, great. Rick,
kind of cool for you to read.
Rick, thanks very much for your input. I do appreciate it.
No problem.
And
talk to you later.
Don't be a stranger, brother.
Okay.
Bye now. And that, of course, Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. Rick hosted a show on the Horn for a while until, life has a funny way of intervening. But he is a sage and wise man who has lived a lot of years and seen a lot of horrors in his capacity as a counselor and therapist. And I immediately thought of him when I saw this Texas story come up. We'll take a little break and come back to your calls. The lines are open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. You can save us a little bit of freight on the phone calls if you use the direct dial, if you have free long distance. Chime right in. This is, of course, like I said, the last show of the week. I'll be on the road tomorrow evening and returning on Sunday. So there, you know, everything will be okay next week, we hope. Cross your fingers. But no show tomorrow, so if you've got something to say, get it said. Elsewise, you may have to bottle it up all weekend, and, you know, that just ain't healthy. So, again, we'll take a little break. Brad and Desi are coming your way with the Green News Report. And then we'll be back with your calls and the very essence of conversation radio. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so, become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell, it slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Your elders goodbye, and so please help them with yours. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by.
Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
It's Thursday, November 3rd. 2011.
What is best for the American people, what's best for our economy, both short-term and long-term, but also what's best for the health of the American people.
The buck stops with President Obama on the proposed Keystone XL pipeline. Spontaneous nuclear reaction at the stricken Fukushima nuclear plant.
Say what?
You heard me. Belgium to phase out nukes too. This week's toxic fuel spill, now in Lake Michigan, plus...
Up until Occupy Wall Street, I used to just toss these in the bin, unopened. But Occupy Wall Street got me thinking.
Occupy your junk mail.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
I'd like to live in a world where my own happiness and comfort are not born out of the suffering of others and the destruction of the environment.
Yeah, move to France, hippie. This is America, and this is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, re-criticality at the Fukushima nuclear plants?
Yes, that's what it looks like. In Japan, Tokyo Electric Power Company announced Wednesday it had detected signs of a new nuclear reaction in the melted core of one of the reactors at the stricken Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant.
Oh, boy.
Raising the risk of increased radiation emissions at the plant. But officials say so far no increase in radiation has been detected at the site, and the situation is under control.
What could possibly go wrong?
A new assessment of the plant indicates it could take up to 30 years to completely close the Fukushima nuclear facility. Meanwhile, Belgium has announced it will follow Germany's lead and begin phasing out all of its nuclear power plants by 2025 in the wake of the Fukushima disaster, with the timing of the phase-out dependent on deployment of renewable energy resources.
So Belgium is somewhat waffling there?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
In Wisconsin, officials still don't know why a bluff above Lake Michigan collapsed, sending a wall of toxic coal ash waste sludge into the lake, which is a source of drinking water for millions of people. State environment officials say the spill probably doesn't pose a significant environmental hazard. Millions of gallons of toxic coal ash waste is generated every year from coal-fired power plants and must be permanently stored in unregulated open-pit sludge ponds around the country. Earlier this month, House Republicans blocked the EPA from regulating toxic coal ash waste ponds like the one that collapsed near Milwaukee.
So we've got oil spills, we've got nuclear meltdowns, and now we've got to worry about coal spills?
Yes, this is your country at work.
Nice. Have we had any solar spills or wind farm explosions in the past couple of months?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, that's good to know.
After weeks of the White House distancing President Obama from the decision to approve the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, Obama himself indicated the buck stops with him in an interview with KVET of Omaha, Nebraska.
Folks in Nebraska, like all across the country, aren't going to say to themselves, we'll take a few thousand jobs if it means that our kids are potentially drinking water that would damage their health.
The controversial Keystone XL pipeline, which has sparked protests across the country and created a political headache for the Obama administration, would carry dirty oil from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, 1,700 miles across the rivers and aquifers of the Midwest, all the way to Texas. Ranchers, farmers, and environmental groups criticized the risk of oil spills to vital water supplies and farmland, while environmentalists and climate scientists warn of long-term damage due to global warming.
But so far, the Obama administration's State Department has been in favor of it?
All signs indicate that the State Department might approve it, but now, with Obama stepping in, they are suggesting they will delay the decision until next year, possibly until after the election.
The State Department of Environmental Protection!
The State Department of Environmental Protection!
Make excuses for the gas and oil companies!
Make excuses for the gas and oil!
Finally, at the Occupy Wall Street protests in New York City, it's literally power of the people. Police have confiscated the portable generators the protesters used at the encampment. encampment to provide electricity, so the protesters are now using bicycle generators for power.
Cool.
The Occupy Wall Street protesters also held a special day of climate justice, protesting corporate greed and political influence and the connection to environmental destruction, holding a day-long teach-in on subjects like fracking, mountaintop removal, deep water drilling, and climate change, pointing out that the big banks that crashed the economy also finance extreme energy projects. They also suggest occupying your junk mail.
These offers are from the same financial institutions that ruined our economy by speculating on the housing market. This isn't junk mail. This is an opportunity for a dialogue.
The Occupy protest movement says use those postage-paid envelopes that come in your junk mail and send them back, including all the junk mail you get, along with a note to tell the banks and credit card companies what you really think.
This one says, hello, big bank clerk. Please join a union.
I love those guys, and I love that bicycle generator. For more on all the stories we covered today and those we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News and our bicycle generator so that we can stay on your public airwaves and tell you the truth you don't hear anywhere else. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Thanks, B-Rez. B-Rez is one of the best live DJs in Beckley, West Virginia. Just awesome at his craft. Quick trip to the mailbox before or mailbag. Mail stream. Mail pixels. Whatever. Email. Before we go to the phones, a couple of lines open if you want to jump in. And I don't think I'll ever be able to use the phrase "get your licks in again." But if you want to, jump in with your ideas, this would be a great evening to do it. Because again, no Friday on the front porch tomorrow, as I am on the road. David in Tennessee writing. He says that Barack Obama Keystone Pipeline statement, referring to the clip that Brad and Desi ran in the Green News Report. And David picked up on it the way I picked up on it. That oh-so-soundbite, balanced, nuanced, quote, new secure energy delivered safely, unquote, statement tells me Barack Obama will greenlight that that Keystone XL pipeline nightmare by New Year's. And I would not be in the least surprised. Because it's a bad election year. Well, you gotta okay it, because that means jobs! Jobs! You know, we'll all have jobs! We'll be eating crude oil for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but we's gonna have us some jobs! Also, this in from Andy regarding something I mentioned in the first hour. Regarding Herman Cain's sexual dalliance and Arlen Specter, good points, Bob. The corporate media would make a cluster you-know-what over Herman Cain's sexual accusers. Meanwhile, not making one over Herman Cain. That's editorializing on my part. Note as well, even though ex-Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania was one of the hatchet men to make mincemeat out of Anita Hill, Mr. Obama had no problem campaigning for him against Representative Joe Sestak in the Democratic primaries. The old clips of Arlen supporting Squeaky Thomas, Mr. Clarence, I call him Slappy, are horrifying. No matter what someone does, as long as they're in power, Mr. Obama gives his support and deference. So who has a fetish with authority? Have you noticed that about Mr. Obama? He seems to consistently gravitate to support power, not the people. In large part, yeah. I won't use the name of this writer, but he says, yeah, when I was young, my dad used to whip my bare ass with a belt, but he was never drunk. It was infrequent, and he never left marks. Until now, I just thought that was normal disciplinarian tactics. But I now refer to him to my shrink as Mr. Intimidation. There's a lot more out there than it. And that's one of the tactics that abusers use. They try to keep people who are abused from understanding that they are not alone. So 16 minutes past the hour, and let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Bob, this is Andy.
Well, hey, Andy.
Hi. You conjured me up.
I guess I did, yeah.
Man, you brought up a whole new connotation for me about getting your licks in.
Yeah, I don't think I can ever... Well, I mean, when I heard that last night on that... Yeah, I can't use that anymore.
Yeah, I used to think it was getting up the bat when you're playing baseball.
Exactly.
Getting your licks in. But now, that was so tough to listen to yesterday, Bob. It really was.
I know.
God. It was bad.
I watched / heard it about four times before I made the decision to go with it on the air, Andy. It was not an easy decision. Yeah.
It's amazing that a person like that is in his position in society, too. Amazing. Utterly incredible. The decision-making capacity that he has over other people's lives. And he's demented. Totally demented.
Well, and did you imagine? Did you hear the written response from his lawyer?
Yeah.
Where it's all her fault? Jesus, that's sickening, Andy.
Yeah, right. Make the attack the victim. I mean, totally.
And I mean, the lawyer didn't waste any time in getting it out. The lawyer didn't waste any time in getting it out there. Well, this is all about her Mercedes-Benz automobile.
Right.
Class warfare much, Judge Adams?
It's just kind of unbelievable. I wanted to tell you, I was at the Oakland marches yesterday. I spent a good part of the day there, and I was in on when they shut down the docks. I'll tell you, for any American, it was one amazing sight to see. I don't think the news media is really telling you how many people were out there.
Yeah, the estimate I saw around 15,000, but probably more.
Could be. I mean, there were just throngs and throngs of people, you know, all races, all colors, all ages. It was just streams of people from Oakland marching into that port. And it was an amazing thing to see. It was kind of like a war zone because the trucks were trying to get out with their goods that they already had packed, and the trucks couldn't move. So they were all just lined up and stopped right where the people got in front of them. And they had to be abandoned in the road. And then you just marched right by them. But it was just an amazing sight. And
well, speaking of Mercedes-Benz, Andy, I read a story that some one percenter in a Mercedes ran over a couple of occupiers.
Well, you know what? I spent maybe 7 or 8 hours yesterday in Oakland. I didn't see any violence whatsoever. And any of the cops I did see were actually really nice to me and wanted to make sure that I was safe. So I did not witness any violence, although on the corporate media and on some of the other media out more liberal meetings, I heard that there was quite a bit of violence. There were, you know, one incident you mentioned was the Mercedes, because there were intersections where people were trying to stop traffic because they didn't want people going into the port, because that was the idea, to close the port. So they took over the intersections near the port that led into the port, and you couldn't get in or out. And I could see that happening, but I didn't witness that happening, because anybody I saw go up to the protesters just turned around. And that was that. But I could see that happening. But I did not witness any violence myself. The whole day, I witnessed just a festive event. I mean, pure festivities. People giving out free food, free coffee, free water, bands playing.
Some businesses shutting down in support of the general strike call.
Absolutely. But that's what I witnessed. But I know there are stories the other way. But it was completely...
Well, what I found inspiring were the longshoremen were quite inspiring. You know, the shift that was on when the occupation began, a picket line was formed outside the fence, if I understand the reportage correctly. When the shift change came, the guys who'd been at work walked out through the gate, and the longshoremen who were due to go in for their next shift honked and waved, and that was the end of it, because in their contract, the longshoreman's contract says that they do not have to work when there is a disruption at the port.
Correct. I think they were more than willing, and they knew in advance that this was all going to occur, and they supported it up, you know, for the most part, 100%. And it didn't take too much to get them to just leave their jobs, as long as they were getting paid for it anyway, which they were.
Right.
But there were just so many people there. There was nothing they could do. You couldn't do anything because you couldn't move because the people were lining the streets and just coming in waves up into the port and then staying there for a while, just holding the ground. So it was just an incredible sight to see all the people. You know, they say from 10,000 to 15,000. Definitely it was in five digits. It could have been more. It could have been 20,000 to 30,000. It was just an amazing waves and waves of people coming. Yeah, you made some comments about Mayor Bloomberg the other day. I played a clip that he played.
Yes.
So his job is to be the promoter of Wall Street and the plutocrat because he's worth $20
billion. Right.
So that's what he does. He makes it so Wall Street comes out smelling like a rose, and it's got to be somebody else's fault. Because that city, New York, does not run without Wall Street being healthy and successful, because that's what drives the finances of the city of New York. So he has to be their biggest cheerleader.
And there really is, as much as I hate to use the phrase, Andy, a trickle-down effect, you know, the one percenters have a lot to do with people who have jobs in high-end restaurants, chefs de cuisine, waiters, waitresses, bartenders, busboys, purveyors of luxury goods, car lots selling, well, there's Mercedes-Benz again.
Right. When Wall Street suffers in New York, New York suffers, and you could see that in the 1970s. When the stock market tanked, when there were tons of layoffs on Wall Street, New York suffers because it loses its high-end tax base, period. And it can't afford to have Wall Street go down. He can't. And that is total baloney.
But by the same token, Andy, it's not going to cripple New York or Wall Street to, for instance, impose something that Bill Gates even endorsed today, and that is a 3% transaction tax.
Man, that would be wonderful.
Conservative estimates say that $150 billion would be made available to help rebuild a very much crumbling nation.
Correct. And the thing that kills me is you got Obama and Timothy Geithner out there pressuring the Germans, this finance minister Schäuble, And it's the French finance minister, it's Boyne or something like that, who are promoting this full bore. They want to see a transaction tax in Europe, but Tim Geithner is trying to stop it and prevent them from doing it because he knows that the Germans and the French have it going, that it would be much easier to do here. And Geithner is really doing the full court press for Wall Street to make sure that doesn't happen. Because, you know, that'll kill all the high-speed trading. Because it'll no longer make high-speed trading viable where you're just picking off those nickels and dimes off the trade.
Right, so actual human beings would have to go back to actually trading shares, right?
You'd have to, actually have to go back to investing, where you actually invest for the long term and you actually allot capital to businesses, which is what Wall Street and the banks are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be distributing capital in a long-term fashion to grow Main Street. That is what the banks... Banks are just a utility. They're just supposed to be a way to disseminate money in the most efficient form to help out the rest of the country. Of course, that is not happening.
You know, Andy, I got to compliment you there, because I don't think I've ever heard it put so plainly or so elegantly. Banks are just a utility.
That's all they are. They're supposed to take in deposits, which are their liabilities, and they pay money. Those are loans from people to the banks, and they're supposed to lend out money. So they borrow and lend. And that's what banks are supposed to do. Just they're not supposed to be doing all this trading garbage and all this extracurricular stuff, which is what brought down the economy. And I sent you a long email the other day when you were talking about Bloomberg. You know, the basic thing is you had predatory lending going on in the late 1990s with two companies, HFC Household Finance and Ameriquest, that both got fined, big-time fined in mid-2000, $325 million and $450 million. But then subprime lending, these predatory lending, was given credence because HFC was bought out by HSBC, the Hong Kong Bank Corp. When that happened, it was given credibility by the industry to do predatory subprime lending. And then, of course, you had securitization, and the laws were changed with the Commodities Futures Exchange Act of 2000 to allow bundling of big loans. And then Bloomberg should know, Mayor Bloomberg, that Bear Stearns kicked it off by going bankrupt first because they were the biggest bundler of subprime loans. Then Lehman Brothers went under. They were another huge, they were like number two in the market with doing the bundling of the subprime loans. And you had another three Wall Street firms, the credit agencies, all based in New York, doing the fraud, putting all AAA ratings on all these mortgages that were should have been like triple C default mode mortgages. If they were AAA, the whole culprit goes to Wall Street. And Bloomberg is out of his mind to say what he said. But anyway, yeah, they're utilities. That's why we need a state. We need state banks like North Dakota. Just take in deposits and give out loans to businesses.
Right, let's not forget about credit unions, because, I mean, this is a little bit of good news that I read just before the program, Andy. It's a stunning number. In 1 month, last month, beginning with Bank of America's announcement of its $5 fee, in 1 month, 650,000 Americans, and that's still a bunch of people, even across the entire United States, 650,000 Americans went out and joined credit unions. Now, that's more than joined credit unions in the entirety of 2010.
Oh, that's great. The word's getting out.
Well, and isn't that an example of the fact that, yes, people making informed so-called consumer choices based on perceptions of ethics and morality, that they really can have an impact? I mean, don't you think that those 650,000 people might have had a little bit to do with the decision making process up there in the BOA boardroom, where they decided maybe that $5 fee wasn't the smartest thing they could have done?
Absolutely, you are correct. Money talks, BS walks, and when they see they're going to lose money, because their deposit base is going. That means they have no money to do proprietary trading with if they don't have those deposits. It all runs off of deposits. They need to use your money, and if they don't have that money to use, they're in trouble. That's wonderful. You know what kills me? I've been in a credit union for like the past 20 years, and I always told people, go with a credit union. Go with, I tell my relatives that. And still, a lot of them haven't moved. And I still keep telling them. And now I guess maybe it's actually taking hold with some people. But man, why you would put money in a major New York bank is beyond me. Or even Wells Fargo, too. It's just nuts. Totally nuts.
Well, you know, I've had a bad attitude about these the big New York banks for a long time now because, well, they're the reason that me, my friends, my neighbors, and my colleagues' homes are being destroyed because of the whole basically finance kiting scheme that winds up being mountaintop removal. Reverend Billy, for instance, of the Church of Stop Shopping, has been instrumental in New York City in going and protesting at banks that finance mountaintop removal, and a bunch of them have gotten out of the business as a result. And maybe, you know, maybe one of the overarching messages out of this, in case anybody was wondering, is that individuals acting that way really can have a difference. Bless his heart, Reverend Billy and the bunch went, I forget which bank it was, it might have been BOA, went to a branch and dumped a lot of Appalachian Mountain dirt in their lobby and said, you know, here's some of the mountain you're blowing up.
I'll bet you he's persona non grata. I know he's not allowed in Starbucks anymore either because he went on a big thing a couple years ago with Starbucks.
Well, he got arrested today. The last report I saw, Reverend Billy got arrested today, I think, along with Chris Hedges. In New York, because they went down and they held a trial of Goldman Sachs by the people in front of Goldman Sachs.
That's great. He's very effective, Reverend Billy. He's been around for a while doing his thing. The Church of non shopping or something.
Yeah, the Church of Stop Shopping. And, he's been in action over mountaintop removal and, you know, he gets his choir going real good and, he's up there sweating and hollering, you know, he's got that white suit and he's sweating and hollering, Earth-a-looia! Yeah, it's something to behold.
Yeah, he's wonderful. No, and something else I was going to say, too. There were different posters and signs for mountaintop removal at Occupy Oakland.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Some of your people camped out there and they got a whole section mountaintop removal.
God, how I'd like to go out to a place like that and just, you know, work up the crowd a little bit.
Oh, man, and you would have a crowd to work because they're there. They are there. There's like 300 people camped out there right in the center of this city. It's amazing. And mountaintop removal is one of the causes that's being pushed.
Yes, it is.
A lot of these protesters, man, are people of the earth. They're not so non-materialistic, it isn't funny.
And, you know, that very factor in and of itself scares the piss out of the 1%. Because the 1% has spent a lifetime, Andy, devoting themselves and committing themselves to the consumer culture. I mean, just because they're the 1% doesn't mean they're any less consumerists than a schlub like me who wants, you know, a transmission. They're consumers, too. They just get to do it a little more outrageously, a little more frequently, and a little bit more, oh, I don't know, ostentatiously.
Right. The 1%ers have no leverage off of these Occupy people because these Occupy people are not materialistic at all. So the 1%ers really don't know how they can leverage any kind of force on them because these people just have no materialistic views or...
Let me take a minute here. This will be three nights running. I guess I'm kind of like a dog with an old bone, Andy. But let me take this moment to once again give a big old FU to Stephen Colbert for putting on his Che Guevara costume and dancing around Occupy Wall Street. I'm still not over that. I'm still not okay with that. you know, with his sign that says "End the NBA lockout." God, that pisses me off.
I'm with you, man. I agree 100%. Both Colbert and Stewart, just I tune them out. I do not listen to them. They've gone too far attacking the people. Now they are attacking us when they do that baloney, and the corporate media and the one top 1% don't need any help from them, quite frankly. They're baloney.
Well, and again, I will once again reiterate that John Stewart's brother runs the New York Stock Exchange. Just saying.
Right.
I mean, that can't help but have an impact, that's all.
Right.
I mean, he's funny as hell. He's brilliant. But there's, yeah. I mean, there's a line. There's just a line you don't cross. And it's, you know, it's not about the Che Guevara costume. It's about the implied snobbery of that notion that Occupy is something fitting for making sport of. It's not. You know, Jesus, if you were listening to Brad and Desi's Green News Report, they came and took away their damn generators.
Getting cold in New York.
Yeah. So now they're doing, you know, now I've got this Gilligan vision of, you know, they really are. They're sitting pedaling bicycles one at a time to generate power. You know, what's next? They're going to take, what's next? The cops are going to come away and take away their bicycle powers? What are they going to do next? Put them in leg irons to make sure they can't? By God, lay there and freeze, kid.
Right, or shoot canisters of tear gas into people's faces. That's another means. That's the Israeli method of stopping the protest, and they tried that in Oakland, of course. That kind of blew up in their faces.
And still, Scott Olson, via some text messages to one of his buddies, I guess, is still urging the crowd to remain nonviolent, which I think is admirable on his part. News Ninja Susan just wrote. News Ninja Susan just wrote in, Andy, if you happen to be down at Occupy Oakland again, and it's during show hours, I'd love to have if you can get near some of those folks talking about mountaintop removal. I'd love to talk to them if you've got a cell phone with you.
Oh, sure, no problem.
That can't happen till Monday, but. Pardon?
Yeah. If I'm down there at your time window, sure.
Right, yeah. But like I said, that can't happen until Monday because, you know, this is Friday for all intents and purposes. Andy, thanks for the update. I really appreciate all of it. And you got big kudos from David in Tennessee, by the way, the official registrar of toasters. You get the toaster this evening. He says, Andy nailed it. The basic intent for banks, not all the high-tech casino BS that we cover for them when they lose their ass doing foolish, illegal things. They're just a utility. I think you've really scored with a little proto meme there.
Right, borrow and lend, just borrow and lend. That's all it's all about, and that's all it should be about. None of this other extracurricular baloney with the derivatives. All right, you take care of yourself.
All right,
Bob.
Andy, good talking to you, brother. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Andy calling from California, de facto correspondent to Occupy Oakland. Hey, welcome to the program.
It looks worse on the tape. It looks worse on the tape.
Yeah, it looked worse than it was. Jesus. Hey, David.
You have to wonder if he means if we got a Blu-ray, it would look better. If we got a Blu-ray version, would it look better? Would we be like,
oh you're twisted. You're just twisted.
Oh, I see it now. It wasn't beating at all. He was just reprimanding her.
And you know she probably used the Adobe Premiere to make. She was probably using them rawhide leather cracks, or maybe some leather cracks from I don't know, one of them Indiana Jones movies. That probably wasn't even what his belt really sounded like.
I'll tell you what I would like to see is I would love to see this because I think the best strategy for something like this is to intensely shame him. Intensely shame this judge, and I would love to see a trending topic, fire Judge Adams. And if that stayed there for a week, I guarantee you, there would be no decision. They would just look at that and be like, God damn, we gotta get rid of him.
Well, obviously in that statement issued by Lawyer Dudley, you know, it reminds me of that line from the original True Grit, Lawyer Dudley, he draws that Lawyer Dudley like a gun. Who is this noble pleader? No, in that statement from Lawyer Dudley, it makes it very much apparent that he's trying to reach out to a certain demographic, that being the he's playing the class warfare card. Well, she's a concert trained pianist, and she's competed on the stage of the Carnegie of Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't finish her college degree, and she's working at a video store. And Judge Adams told her that if she's just going to work part-time at a video store, he's going to take her Mercedes away. Jesus.
I tell you, that guy needs...
Because, you know, a prodigy daughter working at a video store, you know, that's beneath the... That's not beneath her dignity, David.
Right.
That's beneath his dignity.
Yeah, it's beneath his dignity, and it's definitely someone like that needs some drastic shaming, so he's immediately ousted out of the position. Because if you are immediately proven to me, there should be something on the books. Where if you're immediately proven to be immoral in a situation like that, there should be no debate or anything. You should just open the office door and be like, okay. Your stapler is there. The box is there. The desk is there.
If I don't get my stapler back, I can burn this building to the ground.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
I want my stapler.
That's what needs to happen, and the fact that it doesn't happen, that's troubling, Bob. To see that happen over and over and over and over again like that, it's just it makes you, you're right, it gives you that same feeling of that scene from Chinatown. And you just wonder, how much shame will it take to get this guy out? And that's why I was saying the trending topic. Maybe someone needs to hit up a celebrity and say, hey, could you kick off this trending topic? I don't know. Something needs to happen regarding that, though.
Well, he doesn't face re-election for 3 years. I think Rick Goodner did a pretty good job laying out what the likelihoods are. Depending on as to how long he stays on the bench.
Right. I think though with something like that, you could definitely scare the his place of work in Texas if there was enough pushback. And I mean the fact video makes the world of difference. The fact that it's out there like that and just constantly, you know, being retweeted, resent, forwarded, everywhere.
You know,
they
maybe
have to be a little bit nervous.
Maybe that hateful woman on Headline News can finally do some good with her life. what's her name? I can't remember. Maybe I don't want to.
Headline News.
Come on, she had a hissy over the case down in Florida, guaranteed a conviction.
Nancy Grace?
Yeah, Nancy Grace, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Maybe she can finally do some good and just keep the light on this guy.
You would think in something like this that it would be like a done deal, like the video. The beating, the fact that I hate to say it, but this is another factor, the fact that her daughter has cerebral palsy. It's like one after the other. I mean, it would be almost a shut case closed. He's out of here. If he was a Democrat, be gone. If he was a Democrat and a Muslim, he'd be in jail.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting in the blog post that she put up, Cassie noted, that even Fox had been somewhat condemnatory of the whole process, although Cassie notes that they were careful not to go too far in suggesting that maybe people ought not be beaten with a belt.
Yeah, it is. That's sadism in our culture that needs to go away. Quickly, because the problem with the whole concept of the belt is you don't know. I know people say, Well, the parent knows when enough is enough. No, they don't. Not with a belt. You don't know. And a lot of things could happen. You could hit some a sensitive tissue. I mean, the best thing to do is timeout time. Put them in the corner. That's what I say. But I mean, if people want to make that for an excuse to discontinue, you know, to continue to have these debates on Maury Povich, should you physically harm your children or physically reprehend?
When does a child deserve a really good thrashing?
Yeah, and the fact that we actually give them some room to say, yeah, you know what, I can see your point here because it is your kid, and yeah, I mean,
right, and that's you know, Cassie just sent me a PM a couple of seconds ago. She said, people need to shame all abusers, even if they are not on video. And that goes back to something that this judge himself had held, and that is that children cannot be trusted to testify in court at any time because children exaggerate, and if the abuse was not on not caught on video, it probably didn't happen. This is a sick bastard, David.
Yeah, I mean, it's a... There needs to definitely be something done about this, and hopefully this... You know what I would like to see? I would like to see more people come forward with this, and hopefully technology, and this is another reason why technology is to our advantage in this situation. This would never... I mean, no one would believe her if she did come out with it, and they would say, why'd you wait 7 years? You don't got no evidence. So I think in that respect, good on her for doing this, and I hope more and more people take the proactive in a situation like this and continue on, and maybe we can get some serious changes in regards to a lot of this quote-unquote child punishment or whatever. Because I don't know. I think there needs to be... I don't think parents have the right of way in this regard.
No, they don't. And of course, and Kim writing in, she says a monster like this man has an ego as large or larger than a black hole. Shame won't work. How about someone taking a belt to him with the same force he used on his daughter? And she says, I'm not a violent person, but let's get real. Ego schmigo, publicly belt him. That might shame him.
Yeah, I understand what she's saying, but when I'm talking about shame, I'm talking about the public shame and the court where he works at, and I think that would put some serious pressure on him as a person, and that he definitely wouldn't want to show his face in that courtroom if it was strong enough. So, I mean, I don't know, with something like that though, we definitely can't just, you know, as they say, pass the paper to the side and go to the next story. It needs to be continues. There needs to continue to be a focus on it, and people need to understand that you can't let something like that go away. And the fact that you have a video, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's true. The fact that you have a video makes all the difference in the world, because we're just talking from hearsay at this point. We're like, oh, well, that's a shame that that happened to a woman with cerebral palsy, but the fact that there is something visual like that, it makes all the difference in the world in stating a case of why abuse like this that shouldn't be tolerated, and to see someone suffering in anguish like that, and to just have it there out in the open. I think.
Well, and there's a further reach on this, David.
Yeah.
And that is this. In most of the civilized world, there's no debate anymore.
Mm.
It's not okay to hit a kid. It's just not. Now, notice I said the civilized world, which, of course, excludes the United States of America. Because here, and look, I mean, let's just deal with the reality of where it comes from, okay?
Right.
It comes from the same people who say, well, my Bible tells me it's all right to hate the homosexuals because God says that homosexual sexualism is a sin. Well, the same crowd is the same one that if you say, don't beat your children, well, you're intruding on my God-given First Amendment rights to worship as I see fit by beating the snot out of my youngins to give them the correction they so richly deserve. That's where it comes from. You know, the defenders of this creep, or if not the defenders of this creep, the defenders in general of corporal so-called discipline, which is another damned word for abuse, will run straight to the damn Bible time and time and time again, David. When, like I said, the rest of the civilized world, we've got folks who live, I think of our buddy Robert in Japan. Are the Japanese still beating their children? I'm pretty damn sure the Swedes aren't, Scott. He can check in. I'd appreciate it. Are the Danes? Are the French? Are the Spanish? Are the Italians? Are the Germans? The Czechs? The Croats? Because that's a pretty clear line about who is civilized and who is not. Who still sanctions the beating of children?
I think the problem is, a serious problem is, it's never emphasized enough the psychological damage that it causes for a child or a person as an adult to deal with that over and over and to replay it in their minds. It's just it has to be more than heart-wrenching to deal with that, and just another barrier that they have to overcome. And I think that's the problem with a lot of society, that we do not emphasize, like Bob, the problem is we always emphasize the physical pain. But to me, the physical pain and the psychological damage are equal.
If the psychological damage is not in excess.
Yeah.
There's nobody who can watch that video and say, I mean, the screams don't simply come from the fact that it hurts. The screams come from the fact that it hurts, and it's being done to you by someone who sooner or later will say, you know, honey, I did that because I love you.
Right.
That's a lasting wound that people spend lifetimes getting over, David. I mean, it's.
And then the fact that her mother was so passive. Like, you brought this on yourself. She in a situation where that has to be the heart wrencher, the clencher of it all. I mean, the fact that she had nowhere to turn to. Like, no one to say, leave her, no one was saying leave her alone or anything. Just it was all, the whole family was in.
She was utterly defenseless.
Right.
Yeah. David, I appreciate it. Thank you very kindly. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll catch up next week, all right?
All right, you too.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, bye.
David from Maine. By the way, I mentioned Scott Olson in the course of our conversation with Andy a few minutes ago. I just got a note from Jude. If you would like, you can write a personal letter, well wishes, hoping for his quick recovery and healing. You can write a personal letter or card to Scott Olson. You can address it to him at Highland Hospital, 1411 East 31st Street, 1411 East 31st Street, Oakland, California, 94602. They ask no flowers or perishables, but kind wishes for a prompt healing. Yeah. This in, under the subject line, parents knowing when enough is enough. Now, Bob, parents know when enough is enough. When my old man had my welt standing up as high as his belt was thick, he had his sweet spot. See? It's easy. Yeah. Michael, writing in from Norway. Judge Adams has caught the attention of Anonymous. You know, that's never good. They don't do anything mean or violent, but suddenly life just gets a little more complicated. Greetings, Judge Adams. We are Anonymous. Your recent actions have been atrocious, unjust, and as an individual who represents families in judicial disputes, we expected more of you. We have witnessed you mercilessly beating your own disabled daughter for simply browsing the internet or downloading music. We are outraged. Such aggression against a child will not stand, especially by someone who has assumed the duty to protect families. However, how ironic it is that this leak was not made by the discerning public, but from the victim, your own daughter. The heartless beating of another human being, especially the one of a child, is a terrible crime that will not go unnoticed. To speculate the least, you yourself know as a parent that she has a disability, and given that she was of such a young age, her understanding may not be as advanced as your own. However, as human beings, we have evolved not to abuse and incite violence, but to understand and learn. You clearly represent the intelligence of a Neanderthal, and as such, you deserve to be treated like the brute that you are. You may have seen your actions justified, but to a young girl, she does not understand the nature of your aggression. Your actions show you to be a terrible parent, an abhorrent human being, and as such, you deserve to be outcast by the society that respects and abides by your final word. Therefore, we have decided that you shall receive the full fury of Anonymous. We shall continue to wage war against you until you have paid the price for your reprehensible actions. We will not cease our attacks until you have done so. We demand a public apology to both the people of Texas and to your daughter. Further, we demand your immediate resignation from the bar and retirement from any form of judiciary action or law enforcement. Should you choose to continue to assert that it looks worse than it was, we shall continue our actions against you until you see the abhorrent nature of your actions and comply with our demands. We protect the innocent. We fight for the oppressed. We shall avenge. Operation Dox the Judge. Engaged. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us. Oh, dear. Now, that there's no violence. It's just going to get a lot worse. And not any better. You know, usually in circumstances like this, the person running away from the horrors he or she has created for him or herself says, I need to go and spend more time with my family. In this case, Judge Adams is going to need to say, I'm going to go and not spend any more time with my family. Jude noting, crucifixion. God, Bob, the hitting or beating, especially using an object on the child, reminds me of why the crucifixion of Christ is continually brought up in the churches. They cannot get enough of it, such as the Passion of the Christ and so forth. It is sadistic in every form and on every level. Jude. William. Why aren't the laws applied to everyone? Dumb question. Anyone who beats a child should be held responsible. The same as anyone who allows coal ash to spill into a lake should pay to clean it up. Same with oil spills and all other toxic discharges. Just because one holds some position and or power does not make them above the law. The same should apply to any government employee. Hell, if I walked to the street drain and poured my old engine oil down there and was caught, I'd be jailed and fined. If I did anything at a job that was even close to harassment, I would be handed a pink slip. My father was a belt user and first puncher. And even at my old age of 63, it is still there and affects my actions. It was not until I was 17 that he tried this assault, and I pushed him back. Only then did he stop. Susan, News Ninja Susan noting, Anonymous, jumping up and down and cheering. Kim offering this thought, she says, I believe this conversation is so uncomfortable with so many people because we all have an emotional side to this. I was never beaten as a child. However, as a single parent, I did physically abuse my daughter. It is what it is. I've been clean and sober now for almost 17 years. I have made amends. I have stopped my behavior. I now have custody of my granddaughter, not because her mother abused her physically, but otherwise. My daughter knows and trusts that I am now a person who would not raise a finger to this precious child with me. We can change, and some of us do, but I feel a lot of anger for this man. It lights a fire in my belly to see and hear this abuse. It makes me sick. Again, Bob, you have made great conversation on the Internet. Thank you, Kim. David in Tennessee, oh, Judge Adams, that nice Greek word for that which is not named is soon to have more meaning than that shaved ape ever in his wildest imagination thought it could have. Woohoo, with regard to Anonymous. It would seem, and the Greek word David is referring to, it would seem that, yes, Anonymous has taken it upon itself to be the harbinger of hubris. And the punishment thereof. Hubris brings on the punishment. Hubris is misplaced pride. And you know what? Let me just go back for a minute. Because I want to read to you, you know, I read chunks of it in the course of the conversation with horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. I want to read you the entirety of Lawyer Dudley's statement, and you tell me whether or not, because I can just see Judge Adams dictating this to Lawyer Dudley. By the way, Lawyer Dudley, you might be interested to know, does not know the difference between IT apostrophe S and ITS. That's one of those little grammatical things. It just feels like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I mean, Jesus, the guy is a wordsmith. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Microsoft Grammar Check don't catch it. I mean, I torment the language quite a bit on this program, but always, please believe me, I know what I'm doing. Don't try this at home. My name is William A. Dudley. The statement which follows has been reviewed and approved for circulation by Judge William Adams. Now, let me state at the outset that this is it is not notarized. It is not offered as verified. It is not sworn to. And in legal circles, that makes a big difference. The 7-year-old video presently circulating the Internet and now made the basis of international media attention, showing two parents disciplining their 16-year-old daughter. Notice how he implicates the wife, who had been caught by her own televised and Internet-reported admissions, engaged in repeated criminal activity, was posted for reasons other than as professed by the publisher. It is regrettable that Hillary Adams, a bright and gifted person, would include in her post that she is or was a disabled or a special needs child. As multiple media appearances clearly demonstrate, Hillary Adams is articulate, possesses a superior IQ, and is capable of functioning as a productive adult in today's complex society. No one should take the affliction of cerebral palsy lightly. Hillary's parents did not. Hillary's condition was monitored as a child and her medical needs met. However, neither should a perfectly capable adult try to use an affliction as a device for media sympathy. It should now be apparent to the world that disabled was mislabeled. Yeah, just let all this sink in. In response to the Internet post, the media has appropriately attempted, no dumb shit, the media have, sorry. The media has appropriately attempted to understand why Hillary Adams chose the present time to disseminate the video. To many, her answers to those questions have been confusing and hollow. You know, lawyers are all the time citing stuff and putting case citations in there and footnotes and all kinds of end notes. You know, interesting. There's no note here for the media who has been confused and seen her answers as hollow. No note at all. Apparently, Lawyer Dudley works from the Fox style manual. As she has said by recent interview, she hoarded the secret tape for future use. Lawyer Dudley found the quote keys for hoarded. But has not explained, even now, for what purpose. Very few people find palatable her claim that it was to help, quote keys again, her father. Perhaps Hillary Adams should explain if she felt she was raised by a tyrannical father, a claim shared with no one until 5 years after adulthood, why she insisted on living with her father and not her mother from the time of her parents' divorce. That's P-A-R-E-N-T apostrophe S. I guess only one of them got divorced, Lawyer Dudley. Dick. That would be P-A-R-N-E-N-T S apostrophe. Come on. Until she moved out on her own. Hillary Adams has been living on her own for some time and has been an adult for almost 6 years. So why post the video in late 2011? William Adams is of the opinion that Hillary Adams is an extremely bright, highly functional adult. The media has described her, see above, as a piano prodigy who has competed at Carnegie Hall on multiple occasions, no citation. As one of Hillary's long-term teachers noted in the press, Hillary, so close to accomplishment, has of recent inexplicably dropped out just two classes shy of completing her college studies. No citation to all the psychological evidence or reports or scientific reports that note that this is kind of expectable behavior for people who have untreated domestic abuse, domestic terrorism, in-the-home terrorism issues. They do things. The video in question was recorded well before Hillary graduated high school. Well, that makes a lot of difference. If the public must know, well, aren't we just a little bitchy? Just prior to the YouTube upload, a concerned father shared with his 23-year-old daughter that he was unwilling to continue to work hard, you know, by sitting on a bench in a black robe and passing judgment on people suffering through the most traumatic times of their lives and holding things like children can never be believed in their testimony, and if the abuse didn't happen on video, it didn't happen, but that's me. Work hard and be her primary source of financial support. If she was going to simply drop out and strive to achieve no more in life than to work part-time at a video game store. I guess we see here what Judge Adams thinks of people who work at video game stores, right? Hillary warned her father that if he reduced her financial support and took away her Mercedes automobile, which her father had provided, he would live to regret it. The post was then uploaded. The public may wonder, yeah, or not, if this is the tyranny of which Hillary Adams speaks as her reason to disseminate the video 7 years after it was recorded and 5 years into adulthood, upspeak, question mark, what the hell's that doing there, Lawyer Dudley? What the hell are you being paid for? I mean, grammar counts, brother. Is this the reason she hoarded the video for 7 years? I mean, this is a public statement. Yeah, I know. If you're in a big argument on the interweb tubes and you go after somebody's grammar, it's generally a sign that, well, you know, you're being a little prickly. But this is a public statement offered for public consumption by a guy who is either doing the job for free because he gets some degree of patronage from Judge Adams, or is being handsomely compensated for not being able to operate basic grammatical keystrokes on a keyboard. Oh, no, 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 no. I will not blame the legal secretary, because this stuff goes back on his desk for correction before it ever goes out. William Adams regrets the interruption and inconvenience his daughter's post, yay, we got an apostrophe right, has caused to the Aransas County, Texas community. Judge Adams is confident that when the dust settles, it is after all Texas, and international media attention has passed, and the work ahead, whether civil, criminal, or administrative, has taken its IT apostrophe S, has taken it is full course, and has been fully developed, with an opportunity for all sides to ask and answer relevant questions, not the irrelevant ones. And we've got a pretty good idea by this time what Lawyer Dudley thinks is an irrelevant question, like, why did you beat the hell out of your child? It will be concluded that Hillary Adams, is her last name Adam or Adams? No, it's Adams, A-D-A-M-S. So, you know what, Lawyer Dudley, no offense, buddy, but this wouldn't get through English 101. I don't know where you went to school, buddy, but they weren't. Will be concluded that Hillary Adam apostrophe S actions, not S apostrophe as it should be, in 2011 were misguided and misleading. Judge Adams regrets, if true, that his daughter believes he is in need of healing from the family divorce. Divorce is certainly traumatic and takes a significant toll on all, especially the children. Judge Adams is of the opinion that Hillary's gesture is little more than a much-needed but hard-to-believe explanation of why she chose to post the video. Gee, many Christmas. If this entire event was a plea for help and healing, the methodology is certainly unorthodox. Judge Adams, who among other reasons still has a minor daughter to consider, chooses to involve the media as little as possible. Whilst. He can't do ITS without an apostrophe, that Lawyer Dudley can whip out a whilst on a whim. As little as possible whilst personal family matters are sorted through, the public may ponder what consideration Hillary Adams gave her little sister, because, you know, Hillary's the abuser, not him. What consideration Hillary Adams gave her little sister before subjecting the entire family to worldwide microscopic scrutiny and permanent consequences. Jesus, play some minor chord organ music with that permanent consequences bullshit. It is Judge Adams' civic responsibility to respond to whatever investigations may result from a revelation of the disciplinary actions resorted to by his former wife and him on the viral video. Oh, Jeebus! The wife gets top billing in the beating? Those investigations will require answers to many questions raised by the media and public, and for which no appropriate forum has been chosen to date. He is confident the process will be managed in accordance with the law. For the sake of his family, co-workers, and Aransas County officials who must endure the additional work and expense, he wishes that the process not be played out on a national stage. The end. Now, call me crazy, but it looks like Lawyer Dudley just made himself a witness in his own cause, and, you know, that's a big no-no for lawyers, just saying. 14 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a little break. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday combined with Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll be right back.
She's unable to lunch today. And she's sorry to be delayed. But last evening, the little lovers lay, she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love was gone, madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun that shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
Second contribution to come in over the last 3 days. Badly needed and much appreciated. Thank you. Some email. Lines open, by the way, 877-443-2366. Some email. David in Tennessee, head writer. Lawyer Dudley. Seems he might be A, a stenographer, or B, using LegalZoom for online boilerplate and billing for that in triple digits per hour. Man, I mean, really? That's the kind of piss poor writing that will get you washed out of English 101, especially in a state school where they're kind of brutal and don't give a damn about whether you make it to your sophomore year or not. Jeez. Jack in Shreveport, writing. Regarding the judge story, Bob, even a boxing match will be stopped by a referee or a judge, if you will, if one of the contestants cannot defend themselves. Of course, even the loser in such a match is well paid. The irony and injustice here in this case and in this country really have dumbfounded me. So much for an all-for-profit society. Yeah. Michael in Sebastopol writing, could this be in a script of some fourth-rate soap opera? Could Michelle Bachman read it with a straight face? That's why I say that I think that Lawyer Adams didn't really write this. I mean, Lawyer Dudley didn't really write this. I think Judge Adams wrote this and got his lawyer to issue it as a statement so that it would not be testimonial in nature and be able to be used against him. Because the filth in that, the shameful attempts to blame the victim, to gin up negative publicity against his child, when the guy was caught, Jesus, he was caught. He was caught doing what he did. So 20 past the hour, and let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Cassie.
Hey, Cassie. You okay, honey?
Yeah. So when you and I talked last night after the show, I didn't think I wanted to blog about this. I didn't think I wanted to talk about this at all. But it got to me, and I think it touched a nerve. From your chat room, it sounds like it touched a nerve with about
a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people. And I don't know, I just kind of felt like it was so similar to things I experienced. And I don't know, I just felt like I had to blog about it and that I had to ask some of the questions that it feels like other people are not asking. I think that, you know, the father's lawyer is wrong to put the mother's name at the top, but I also feel like, you know, she pulled out a belt. She's just as at fault, and she didn't stop it. And that it's as much a story about her as it is. I mean, not as much, because she's not a judge, but it is a story about her.
Well, even if there's codependency or passive aggression or any of those complicated terms, she has issues of her own, right?
Yeah.
And she has complicity.
So she was also abused by him, and she blames him for her participation, which I don't know if I buy that or not. The whole situation is so complicated. But I think it's possible that something good can come out of this. I mean, I think Texas is a lost cause on this. The United States has the highest level of death from child abuse every year. Every 5 hours, a child in the United States dies from child abuse. And not the majority, but more of those children come from Texas than any other state.
The statistical question on that, Cassie, is that because Texas has a humongous population, or is that because there's more of this occurring for a variety of cultural reasons inside Texas? Or is it a combination of two?
If you look at per 100, so it's listed by per 100,000 children. So it's per capita. I mean, you know, even if you divide it out, it's per capita. And it's much higher in Texas than it is in other states. And I think it's because of people like this judge who don't stop it and who perpetuate it and who, you know, I have not seen statistics that take Texas counties apart, but I bet that Aransas County is going to, you know, have more than other counties because this is the judge looking at the cases.
Is what you're suggesting, Cassie, that Aransas County might have false negatives?
I don't know what...
That the numbers might actually be higher in Aransas County because this guy tends to overlook it?
Yes. Yeah. And people know they can get away with it.
Well, you know, there was that one account of the case that he heard in which he refused to consider evidence that a non-custodial parent's caregiver or care provider was homicidal, suicidal, psychotic, drug-addled, et cetera, et cetera. So, and, you know, the other things that the man has held, that if the abuse isn't captured on photo or video, that it didn't really happen, and that a child's testimony may never be considered.
I bet his daughter heard him say that more than once. I bet she heard him say that to people, and that's why she put up a video camera in her room. Or in the living room.
And she has said repeatedly that, you know, she released the video because it got worse and worse, and that he was ramping up again. I don't think that that's a direct quote, but it's pretty close. And that she could see that there was more coming.
It always ramps up again. You helped me see that. I mean, you and I have known each other a long time. There was, yeah, I don't know how much listeners know, but there was a time when I wouldn't see. I refused to see that these things get worse over time, that abusers get worse over time. And you helped me see the pattern. I know you remember that.
I do. I do. There were a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I was kind of hard-headed about it, I wouldn't see it. I wouldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it.
And that's the operative phrase, isn't it, Cassie? You didn't want to.
I didn't want to.
And you know, let's be careful with that word, believe. It wasn't that you didn't want to believe it. It was that you didn't want to know it.
I didn't want to admit it. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it's... So I heard you read that letter.
Yeah.
From the lawyer. Now, I don't want to brag, but I am intelligent and high-functioning.
Yes, you are.
And all of the abuse in my life still keeps me back from it. It still affects me. It keeps me from sleeping like last night. It keeps, when I wrote to you at 4 a.m.
It affects your interpersonal relationships.
It does. It really does. And it scares me, you know, it scares me about the future.
Let's deal with a little bit of
this is scary stuff.
Yeah, let's deal with it. Let's deal with the reality here. And of course, it's sweeping and broad and may not be applicable to all situations. But, you know, a lot of times, one of the things that makes abusers abuse is when they see that they are dealing with a child who is gifted or who is extremely bright, very intelligent. Because extremely bright children, are probably a little more willing
to argue back.
Well, to question authority.
Yeah.
And that honestly doesn't come out of a mean or a disobedient place. It comes out of an honest place.
Well,
and one of the most horrible violations of trust is when the abuse takes place after something like that, Cassie. Because it means that, you know, all those trust boundaries are shattered.
Yeah. So my brother was my protector. When my mom was around, my brother protected me, and my brother was my guardian, and my brother was my guardian angel, and I worshiped him. I thought, and somewhere along the line, either I told him or he figured out or something that I was smarter than he was and that in some areas I knew more than he did. In academics, I knew more than he did. Like early, like 7th grade, I knew more than he did. And he was so threatened by that. To me it didn't matter. I still worshiped him. I still thought, you know, walk on water. I mean, but he was threatened by meeting Mark, and he was threatened. And, you know, to be honest, I was so smart that I was smart, but I wasn't smart enough to know when to shut up.
Even that may be a little bit too self-condemnatory. There's that word again. It's not because when a bright child goes places where a bright child ought not, the remedy is not to resort to either verbal or mental or physical abuse. You have to. Deal with the child, understanding that the child is a child, but at the same, and boy, I really don't want to sound like Dr. Phil here. I don't have any credence or credibility for, I got a little more credibility than your average Catholic priest, but you know, that's just because I'm a real father. But you know, yes, the child is a child, but two, this guy didn't get to be there's an old joke out there. I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but lawyers who aren't judges tell this joke all the time. They say, what do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 52? Everybody looks around, and then the lawyer goes,
Judge.
Your Honor. But he got through law school. He got himself through probably some degree of political patronage, appointed, mind you. You don't do that without connections. When this court was created, he was appointed to it. And as a consequence, it may be Texas, but, you know, this is a part of Texas where the payday is pretty damn good. And what I'm getting at here is the parents had the ability to deal with their child. You know, the fact that she's got that history of those piano lessons,
yeah,
says something.
I had piano lessons. I had, when my mother, I mean, you know, until my mother got really into the drugs, I had piano lessons. I had a gifted and talented program. I had all kinds of after school activities. And I had all of that. And it didn't change what went on in my house.
No. Because those are also...
did a lot of it to keep up appearances and to make us look normal.
And those can also be manifestations of a desire to create a sort of imposed sense of normalcy where there is no other normalcy. I mean, the stories... And, you know, usually these things, and I can't help wondering if there's not an element of abuse to them, Cassie. You know, every time the Olympics comes around, the Winter Games, for instance, you will hear the stories of these beautiful, young 14 and 15-year-old female figure skaters.
Yeah.
And how this child has not had a normal child's life. She's had the dedication and the persistence to get up at 3 a.m. every day and go to skating practice, after which she attended to her studies. You know, the follow-up stories never come, Cassie, of what an of how many emotional wrecks are created out of that.
Yeah.
And you know, the Rick referenced Little League parents. God, I've seen those. I turned off
my whole, I turned off all the phone last night.
I understand.
To anything. I just, like, I heard, you know, 10 minutes of you talking, not even 10 minutes of you talking about this, and then I turned it all off. I didn't.
Well, I wanted to give people who might be harmed by the audio a chance to get the hell away from it, Cassie.
Yeah. So what did Rick say about the...
Well, just all of the Little League parents and what I said, you know, the skaters and that video last night, whose audio I played that David from Maine sent us of the, you know, it's a compendium of this child's history with the piano from a time when her little feet don't reach the floor and she's wearing this beautiful red poofy little girl dress and, you know, reaching all the way up. and she's, you know, she's so cute, but she's frustrated, and, maybe it was good therapy for her CP, because, you know, her hands would draw.
Mm-hmm.
But these are, you know, these are all facades by behind which the horror lurks.
And
while, you know, while you can find it easily because people go looking for it there, in neighborhoods that are less economically secure or where the racial demographics are different.
But do you know why people think it's more common in places that are, well, at least in cities? Because you can hear each other.
Right.
Because, look, I've lived in houses, and I've lived in apartments, and I've lived in cheap apartments, and in cheap apartments, you can all hear each other. And in cheap houses without insulation, you can hear what's going on in each other's house. And you get to the fancy suburbs, and you can't hear anything. So it's the same stuff happens.
With more sound. It's more hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, with more sound damping.
It's behind sound business. So people don't hear it as much. But it happens everywhere. But my mom needed us to be perfect. And the more that she used drugs and the more that her life got messed up and, you know, she lost jobs and she lost jobs and it wasn't from the economy. But the more that, like, her life got messed up from drugs, the more that she needed me and my brother to be perfect. And when we weren't perfect,
yeah, as some sort of proof against her own problems, yes.
Dyslexic. I mean, I remember, and I put this in the blog, some of my earliest memories are of my dad and then my mom beating my brother. And half the time, it was because he couldn't read. It was just because he couldn't read. It wasn't because he was bad.
You know, I just got an email in from Kim, and I think it provides an appropriate counterpoint to this conversation, Cassie. She says, as a recovering abuser, I abused because I was scared, and that's in all caps. I was scared. I was scared of losing control, or worse yet, getting control and not being able to handle it. I know the side of this conversation that you and others, this is a side of this conversation that you and others cannot see and know. She says, I feel for Cassie, I do, and for others that have been abused and stay up night. But I, too, stay up nights and remember the terror I inflicted. And it was because I was scared. And see, that I think is what you're talking about with your mom. She needed you and your brother to be extra normal because she was far from it. So, you know, I applaud you, Cassie.
Talking about it.
I
would imagine that'd be way harder than any of us telling you our horror stories. I can't even imagine.
Only one of our three remaining children in the house have seen this video.
What'd they say?
Horror. Horror. Just horror.
I only watched a little of it. I read the descriptions of it, and I was enough. I can't. If I hear that, Bob, I'm not going to sleep all week.
Yeah.
If I put that on and I put on the sound, I will not sleep the whole week. I know it. Because I've spent a year doing this.
And you know, but
I'm,
and again, you know, I want to say again that I didn't run that for prurient purposes, Cassie. It is a barbarity, a national shame that somehow
it
we find
it everywhere.
Everywhere, all the time, every day, every minute, Cassie.
All over this country.
And we can't even reach an informed consensus that says it's not okay.
Right.
You know, the American Medical Association says it's not okay. The American Psychological Association says it's not okay. The American Pediatrics Association says it's not okay.
Do you know in Great Britain it's illegal? No matter, like, hitting your children at all is illegal.
And
in most of Europe.
Yeah.
Most of Europe, hitting your children at all is illegal. It's just not okay. Do you know in Texas there are still places where the schools can paddle?
Oh, I don't doubt it. There are I've heard teachers here in this school system say, you know, everything just went to hell when they told us we couldn't paddle them anymore. My grandmother, a teacher. My grandmother, a teacher, was famed in this county for being a great teacher. But she was equally famous for the verve. There's that word again. The vim and vigor with which she wielded a most brutal paddle. And then I remember a second grade teacher. And if there are angels, she was one of them walking the planet. At the beginning of school, she showed us this red lacquered paddle. It's really pretty, nice paint job. And she said, not I hope or I wish, but she said to a bunch of second graders in Alabama, no less. You know, this is what? Fall of 1970. And she says, I trust that will be the last time any of you see this. And you know what? She was good to her word, and she had the best behaved class in that school's second grade. Outside other rooms in the hallway, you could hear little children who were being beaten on their behinds with a paddle crying out. Those cries never came from my second grade class. Because she was an educator of profound talent. You know, David in Tennessee has it spot on. He says, so a girl child, after decades of horrific abuse, A, realizes that pursuit of a career as a concert pianist isn't really her thing, and or B, she needs, out of a fragile mental state, to depend on that ape for financial support. So what? That beast owes her that and a lot more. For the woman to make her way through the world via any and all levels of help is a miracle. I say again, he owes her and always will. Meanwhile, you think maybe Bill O will give any coverage, any at all, to this child beating? No, me neither. See, this is another one of those little manifestations of the basic stuff that we cannot deal with in this country on any kind of a sane or rational level with hopes of reaching an equally sane and rational conclusion. Because for a variety of reasons, this country is almost hopelessly insane and irrational. And it is insane and irrational for one big reason. Now, I'm not trying to just... Well, no, not going to use that one. I'm not trying to overstate my brief. But there is only one place from whence comes the argument that every now and then a child needs a good beating. Do I really have to say where that is? Well, there go Marva Lane, better get in here. Bob's going to go after the Baptists some more. No, it's not just the Baptists, but they play a role. There are some Christian denominations that condemn the use of physical violence on children. And, you know, bullshit on calling it corporal punishment. It makes it sound like you've got two stripes on the kids, sleeve, and you're taking them out and having them move a pile of sand from one place to another. This is, no, the hell with corporal punishment. It is violence against a child. And there are some Christian denominations that condemn it. But they are far fewer than the ones who support it and who urge it to their congregants. We have Supreme Court level decisional law that says a Jehovah's Witness may watch their child die for want of nothing more complex than a blood transfusion. We have fundamentalist sects, beginning with the largest of the cults in this country, the Southern Baptist Convention, whose persistent, bigoted, benighted, hate-filled reliance on a literalist interpretation of their holy book tells them that the love-filled creator of the universe wants their children treated, corrected with violence. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, that's why God made their little bottoms all padded so you could a spank on it. It only comes from one place. I don't know, as Cassie noted in her blog post, Fox sort of tap danced around the spanking issue. But I defy you to find any organization, do a Google search, report back, please. Find any organization that advises parents to do physical violence, and I don't care if it's a slap on the wrist or a spank on the butt, it is still violence. I dare and defy you to find me any organization that advocates for that that does not have some sort of religious tie-in, and particularly a Christian tie-in. Fritz writing from Arkansas. Corporal punishment is still legal in the state of Arkansas, and many school districts in rural Arkansas still practice it. A side note, the new school superintendent for the Star City School District was hired from Texas and is a member of the Church of Christ. God help them. Some damn chimpanzees dancing around that monolith with the bloody bone in their hand. And yeah, Kim has offered a lot tonight because it is, as she notes, it is one of the most shameful things there is to admit you have inflicted harm to your flesh and blood. This has been so eye-opening, Bob. Thank you, Kim. No, Kim, thank you. Ray saying, thanks so much for reading Kim's emails. I'm proud of the love of my life, who is now a very gentle soul. By the way, good thing Kim and I aren't competing for most read emails. She's got me 9-3 this week. We love you, Bob. You guys are keeping count? I didn't know. Oh, damn. Last night, after the program, our good buddy Reverbo followed up because he knew that I was bothered by having introduced the topic at all. He said, "You may have quieted things down, but I never heard something like that on any other show. You have to run the truth, as painful as it can be." "Well, not everyone does, and that's my point," says Reverbo. "You did. And if it dredges up old horrors, hopefully those who suffered from this kind of outrage have come to terms with it, and we continue to work on how to rid the planet of sanctimonious brutes, whatever their twisted views. This shit happens far too often, Bob. In fact, I'm somewhat amazed at how many victims deal with it peacefully instead of showing up one day and dishing out everything they got, if not more." You think that they'd sure want to, don't you know? That poor girl was the one with the real courage. But you got an A tonight, Bob. A chancy one, but an A nonetheless. Meanwhile, I gotta admit, I got 10 minutes left in the program, and I don't know how to end it. Well, let's try it this way. I just got an email in from our chat room moderator, Lottie. Since I note that most of the beat disobedient children stuff comes from, you know, them. Let's work the other side of the street for a minute. Holy cow. I'm trusting Lottie that this did not come from the Onion. The Catholic Church is threatening to sue publishers who have accused it of selling pornography through its wholly owned $2.3 billion German bookseller, Weltbild. Okay, little Timmy, little Susie, out of the room. Uncle Bob's going to use some of those words you can only use on the Internet because it's in the report, not because Bob is just losing it. Little Timmy and little Cindy gone? Good. The Catholic Church is threatening to sue publishers who have accused it of selling pornography through its wholly owned $2.3 billion German bookseller Weltbild. Titles such as Fuckable, Lawyer's Whore, and Sluts Boarding School, for example, apparently, according to the Catholic Church, do not meet the legal definition of pornography, which Wikipedia, for example, defines as, quote, the explicit portrayal of sexual subject matter for the purposes of sexual arousal and erotic satisfaction. Via a crude Google translation from German to English, the revenue share of the criticized article is minimal. Books about the word erotic were found to be on the Internet, achieved in calendar year 2011, accumulated a stake vest of 0.017% of the total turnover of the publishing group of the world. Headlines such as Catholic Church makes a fortune with porn is against this background is simply untrue and defamatory. The company is taking legal action against the slanderers. In calendar year 2011, this year, the Catholic Church's Weltbild bookseller earned approximately $391,000 in revenue from the sales of Erotica, says the writer, David Badish. Assuming my math is correct, his, not mine. The church, of course, says, this $391,000 is hardly a fortune. Still $391,000. You got that? Well, I'm not surprised because I know history. In the days of Roman Catholic England, you know, before Henry VIII really wanted that divorce, a bishop, really a bishop, if not an archbishop, had control of, was basically the super pimp for all of the brothels on one side of the Thames. It's good business. I don't know, if you buy a lawyer's whore, do you get do you get a free little hat? Jeebus. I wish there was going to be a Friday show, but there won't. I'm going to be on the road, and it's a mountaintop removal meeting that must be attended. I'll be back Monday. In response to Reverbo's mail, David in Tennessee closing it all out with this. Subject line, kids pushing back. Hey, Reverbo, we do push back, usually around 19 or 20. The coming into my prime and the old man losing his, things shift. So the offer to kill him barehanded is taken seriously. Always remember, time wounds all heals. I think that puts an appropriate cap on this. I wish this was a six-hour show sometimes, this being one of them. Because I've doggone sure got 6 hours more content. Just by way of, oh, by the way, I guess you noticed that the Prime Minister of Greece, and I found some irony in this after the conversation that ended the show last night with Sandra, the Prime Minister of Greece has bailed out on the notion of letting the people of Greece decide whether they want to be rendered paupers for the next decade. The referendum has been canceled with a bunch of explanations about how the opposition party had decided to formally support the monetary deal on the table. I don't know about you, but I ain't buying. They're selling, but I ain't buying. What did we call it last night? Yeah, it's all chess. Or as we like to say down here south of the Mason-Dixie line, it's all wrestling. Saturday night at the Bug Tussle Armory, the Red Terror beats the Blue Marauder. Come next Saturday night at the Armory at Busted Knuckle, the Blue Marauder will beat the Red Terror. On any given Saturday night after the crowd's gone home, you can find the Red Terror and the Blue Marvel with their masks off sitting down over a nice dinner after the show is over and the rubes have gone home. So thanks, everybody, and thank you all for the kind contributions that have rolled in the last few minutes. They were badly needed. They still are badly needed. I hope November doesn't wind up being as sort of grim as October wound up. I deliberately went the last couple of days without even mentioning it. But you all contribute in one way or another financially with your ideas, your thoughts, your calls. You all contribute to keep this going, and I appreciate it sincerely. We all do. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crnmw.net. You can easily become a member by going to the website and helping us end the Appalachian apocalypse. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next.